Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. My heavens, the 11th month already. The first day tomorrow is the big election. A lot of anticipation, a lot of people showing interest to vote. Stalin made a quote. He said, it's not those that cast their votes. It's those who count the votes. So now that we've got modern, technology, we don't have to worry about the chads as much as, 4 years ago, we had to worry about the chads, the little hanging chads that was in the ballots that were failed to punch through, so there was no clear indication, and Mr. Gore probably was cheated out of the election because they preferred Bush over Gore. Now, probably, the New World Order has, Bush is, let's admit it, he's been a very good candidate for the New World Order. He and his father before him, 10 years prior approximately, well versed. Clinton, the 8 years in Clinton, seemed like things were not as bad as, or moving on a fast track. Bush has got this New World Order moving on a fast track. And with the people having 4 years of Bush, it seems likely that as many people are gearing up to vote, this will be a message that the New World Order will take into consideration they want to change. Bush is sort of shooting from the hip. He's a very arrogant type president, the only one that I've ever... in 60 years of my watching these things and in the political arena, Mr. Bush, he's not very diplomatic. He just lets you know what's coming down the pike and get ready for it because here it comes. So the 9-1-1 scenario and the Iraqian war, we've got a bloodbath. Eight yesterday killed over there and more and more every day, probably, perhaps, there's many more of the kill that we're not being informed about. And so then I think perhaps that Curry will get the nod. But I assure you, whoever they think will be the most beneficial to the Illuminati or the New World Order, both of these men are skull and bones, and the election will come down between these two. And then the New World Order will pick their candidate from behind the scenes. And I hate to say that because it takes away the joy of voting for someone and hoping or anticipating that your candidate will win. Whoever has got the nod in the back room, that's the man that will be your president. Ladies and gentlemen, they have manipulated the mind of the sheep to such an extent that they actually know, before we know, what they know. So that's the problem. Tonight we're going to talk about the Creator journey. We're going to get into some deep, life transferring things. So we're going to review, basically, a book by those who would like to share the information with the people today, and that is the bringers of the dawn, teaching from the Pleiadians. These are supposedly a group of intelligent beings in the heavens that have made contact, and certain people are beginning to believe that we are in a new day or a new dawn, and that's what the name of the book is, Bringers of the Dawn. And, you know, it's very timely that we are in this age of information, you know, like the internet, computers with everything is, it's just amazing how much energy of knowledge is being transferred through light. And the Bible said if they speak not according to this light, there is no light in them. Or if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. Let's talk about our ancestors. I want to go back to the very beginning and go pre-Adam, Genesis 1, where we can start our lecture tonight on the fact that the original planners of the earth, these were the orchestrators who seeded worlds and civilizations with their creativity and their purpose to express. And because of their qualifications, remember they were a little higher than man. We're talking about the creative spirit. Remember, John 4:24 says that our creator, the spirit, is just what he is, a spirit. But there was intelligent beings that knew how to manipulate. These are called the original planners. Because what it says, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, Strong's 430, it means in the beginning Elohim, plural. And I believe these were the intelligent gods. We know them as angels. But I do believe that they were instrumental in developing and bringing forth creativity, including man. Now, I know that we all like to look to a single deity, a creator, that, you know, I mean, he has got a large family of angelic beings. They're higher than we are, and we are lower than them, and yet they're trying to raise us up, or at least some of them are. There may be activities to keep us suppressed that we do not come into the knowledge, and I highly suspect that that is true. And yet, there is a timeline until something is climactic here upon the earth. And I've talked about this many times before, that the book of Revelations would give you the indication that the war that started in heaven will finalize and end here upon the planet with the disagreement of these Elohim who have different agendas. And man is somehow miserably caught in the middle. It's just like we have no say. But those that come down here into our domain, if you will, this is a dimension of, well, dual accountability, meaning that you reap what you sow, and that you have to make choices here. And that's no different from the beings that come here. Remember, they make choices. Some of those exalted ones, and if I could, let me call them eternal ones, not in the singular now, not the eternal one, but the eternal ones. These are they, like I said, God is a spirit, and I just hope and trust that you'll see that he's not a person like we are. The universal spirit, the universal conscious spirit, that, well, it goes throughout this energy. It goes throughout the universe. And it's impossible to limit God to a certain place, as we are made to believe that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost, and then that's the only God there is. But that's not true. There's many gods. And the Bible will tell you that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. There's many gods and many lords. And they that ruled over lower man in this dimension could have perhaps been our creators. Because they said in the beginning, Elohim, plural, created heaven and earth. Well, if they were involved, see, what they did, they manipulated, if you will. Now, this had to be the will of the Spirit. Whatever this living life force is that goes throughout the universe, it's just like electricity. Electricity, in one sense, is wonderful. But, I mean, you wet your finger and stick it in an empty light socket and turn the switch on, and you're going to get your life lit up, you know. So it could be dangerous on the other hand. So that's what I'm talking about, dual forces. Choose this day, you know, who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve evil? Well, we go back and we find that he says in the book of Isaiah, I create good and I create evil. So this one spirit that was manipulated by many gods, who were the original planners that had us in mind. And by doing these genetic alterations, I actually believe that our Earth is billions of years old, and that I do believe that civilization, ancient civilizations, and I believe we'll see the proof of this just a little bit on down the road, where that maybe under the ice caps, I don't know. But we do know that at one time that was a warm climate zone, if you will. That grass and animals existed in these regions, both South Pole and North Pole. I'm convinced that the shield covered up a lot of these ancient civilizations. We have maps to indicate that Greenland, I've been to Greenland, so it's the largest island in the world, that the north was mapped prior to the Arctic North being frozen up. Somebody knew about the north country, and they had a map of it. It's detailed, and they can tell by image scanning radar that this map is actually Ackerman, as it shows the land continent beneath the ice. We're having a warming, a shift, if you will, of the ice is alarming. That's why I believe some of the projects that they have going on with the chemtrails is to prevent global warming, because it's going to cause a natural catastrophic disaster. And I believe that these original ancestors, these watchers, the eternal ones, that we're going to call them here in this series, that they know all about this. And that they're going to have to, at one point, some point, begin to share the knowledge that has been denied man to keep us. Actually, we may be on their food chain. I don't really know what's going on. I do know that we've become servants to their cause. And if the curse to these fallen ones, these eternal ones, if they are under a curse and they're actually, their longevity depends upon how long we stay dumb. If they can keep us dumb to the game, then they prolong the inevitable, which is written in the Holy Scripture. If we believe the Holy Scripture, well, there's a new writ of Holy Scriptures coming on board here, and that's about a contact with these type of Pleiadians, if you will, and these Pleiadians, I prefer, of all the outer space beings that I've read about, and I've read literally hundreds and hundreds of books on this subject, the Pleiadians and the seven sister constellation of Pleiades is some of my favorites. They speak with the spiritual, yet informative earthly logic. And they say that they come from our future. Isn't that amazing? If just perhaps that the timeline of time is only given to a general specific area on in our dimension, that we are the only ones who are restrained or defined by time. Because there may be a point on the scale of past, present, and future time that time ceases to exist. And I believe that's true, because the Bible would indicate that there's a time that time will no longer exist. Now what happens after we have no longer a reckoning of time? You know, David said, I was once young and now I'm old. And of course he died. And that's the way that human time goes. But it wasn't meant to be. Something's been interjected to make us age. Who knew? Or why? Why was it that these higher ones, these eternal ones, who were our progenitors or our original planners of our being, why is it that there was such a battle fought over the control of the soul of man? It's amazing to me how some of the things that I read in the Bible, that man, gods, these literal gods fought over these very facts and the deprogramming, if you will, of the brain power, the unhooking, if you will, of the process of our evolution to slow it down. Something has been given to us like a time capsule pill that we are to be kept in the dark purposely for a specific amount of time. Now, is it that we are the highest order and they are our servants, and yet they have dumbed us down to become their servants, and as long as we're their servants, they win, or they exist, or they prevail? And there's no climatic judgment. I don't know. These are just the things that I think about. Well, as all realities are not solid, and as the future is not set, it only works on a number of probabilities. That means no certain thing is preset in concrete. That we have in this dual third dimension the ability to pick and choose at random. And yet who controls our thoughts to randomly, if we will, pick and choose? That's the $64 question. Are we being manipulated by a force unseen or unknown? Beyond the third dimensional veil is some type of power hurting us all into a certain arena of thought. Does the Bible really mean what it says when it says, in the last days much knowledge will be increased? Are we now pondering things that have been kept secret from the foundational world? And is there a timeline for the secrets that have been kept secret to be opened and revealed through the transference of life? Says our elders, we see an opportunity at this time to insert a more positive probability for her without interfering with the climatic patterns that man has developed and is working on The Bible said, be sure your sins find you out, and as a man soweth, so shall he reap. As a tree falls, so shall it lie. But is there something above and beyond the mundane, everyday, flesh and blood extension of having to eat and dress ourselves and wash and pamper and whatever we do to ourselves to make ourselves presentable? And we spend most of our time sleeping and eating and drinking and being merry. Very few people come to a purpose of becoming a magnificent intergalactic exchange center of information. In other words, we're life beings that are to transcend or to furnish light. We are the light of the world, the Bible says. Well, if we're the light of the world, why is it that we're not shining? And why is it that the children of darkness are outshining the children of light? But the Bible said, make sure that light in you be not darkness. Now, isn't that a paradox of a puzzling statement? And I've wrestled with that for several years before I come to a general understanding of what our Messiah meant when he said, make sure that the light in you be not darkness. Because there is a dark, carnal, logical, just like our election today. It doesn't matter who we vote for in Curry Bush. We're going to get the worst case scenario. It's just like one who's going to be new. We don't know what he's going to do. So if we get rid of the old guy, we know what he's done. He's got us involved in 911. We've been attacked by these terrorists. And that word comes from the word terror. And so these dark terrors in the world are creating a darkened, fearful, in other words, trust us. We will defend you. We'll not let those evil terrorists come over here and bomb you and take away your good times. And that's what's being advocated here. There's nothing about love and intergalactic exchange or, like Bush said, 1,000 points of light. What was he talking about? This 1,000 points of light are the dark ones who are bringing light through darkness and fear and intimidation. They're not bringing the peace and the joy of the intergalactic light of a light being that is reconnected to his original cause or his original purpose. And it's going to take a major leap that we can begin to participate as light beings and find the energies that are coming to Earth and learn how to participate in the projects of light that are now available for us. And the Bible says we can have these if we walk upright and take a higher dimensional step into our purpose here. What were we put here for? What is our original intention? Was it not to bring the earth into subduction to the conduction of the conductor of light? That this darkened planet, as it became dark through the fall, we were put here to reinstate or reinsert the point of light. Not the light of darkness, but the light of light. And there is a thin line between light and darkness. We very seldom ever can tell which one dominates and which one gives into the other. So it's a continuous struggle of the dual purpose, and we're here for the evolution of our consciousness. It's the highest aspect of our being. We must reach for higher things than political campaign. I mean, this is a noble thing. Well, we're going to lead America into this great, we're going to give everybody a chicken on the table, you know, like Herbert Hoover said back in the 30s, a chicken in every pot. And when Roosevelt, after that, the depression, the crash, this was an experiment in controlling through darkness. Now we've got the New Deal coming up. Roosevelt brought us into the New Deal to put everybody to work. The unions became popular. America thrived. They began to have money in their bank accounts and their checking accounts once again. And then came World War II, brought on by the very one to give us a New Deal. And this was to enrich the coffers, the bank accounts of the people that were in charge of the war machine to wage war upon the earth, which was nothing but a pretense of once this war's over, this will be the granddaddy of wars, this will end all wars, and we'll have a happy bright future. Well, that didn't happen. We just had more wars. And the industrial complex, which is a very powerful. You see, the United States is the largest supplier of weapons to kill and maim upon the planet. We're number one by far. And we don't really care who buys them. Because given who owns the war machines or the industrial military complex, if you look behind the scenes and see who really owns those, we wouldn't have failed for World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and the two wars in Iraq, and all those wars, the skirmishes and battles, and skirmishes, firefights we call them, in between. But the Bible warns us that there would be wars and rumors of wars, and this is a veil of darkness placed around the earth. The maiming, the killing, the savagery, and ladies and gentlemen, I hate to say this, but the United States is just as guilty of being murderers of little children, and I know it's collateral damage, and all's fair in love and war, they say, but it's not. I mean, when we advocate just shooting down little children, walking up and taking a gun and shooting them through the belly or through the head just to watch them fall or see blood squirt out, because we've been conditioned to think that these are evil people. And how it works wonders in the consciousness, mass consciousness, of a nation that will support. Did you know that we are over $300 billion since Bush declared war on Iraq? This is not talking about all the money we spent under his dad. This is under Junior. Do you know what? If we have that money and put to good use for education, for schools, and for our children, our future, instead of mortgaging our future, we could take that money that we spent $300 billion. And we could build new schools in all of the school districts around the United States who have plenty of money left. That just shows you. And we could get a food program that would relieve all the hunger in America. And yet we would rather take it and kill little children, bomb with our, airplane, surgical strikes, and, take out a people that are armed with AK-47s up against tanks, armor, plated armor, because we've got the power. And are we going in there for light to build schools in Iraq and deny our schools here? Are we going over there to create a democratic pre-election society, where we don't even have one here ourselves? You say, oh, well, dude, I'm going to go vote tomorrow, and my vote's going to count. Well, praise Yahweh. But I'll still assure you, tomorrow night, when they announce the new president of the United States, your vote... I'm Virgins are black. Our original creators, who had goodness in mind, evidently, and yet there is a faction of those creators who turned dark, who loved darkness better than light, who chose to put us into harm's way, to continuously deceive us, and to drag us down with a Babylonian empire that is rooted in satanic darkness that is emergent as light. Oh, we'll protect you for those evil terrorists that bombed our World Trade Tower centers and our precious Pentagon, trying to destroy our United States military. We'll get those that flew those hijacked planes into the buildings. Then we happened to find that there was no wings on the 747 that flew into the Pentagon. It was more like a cruise missile fired from the underbelly of a jet airliner that went on over and crashed somewhere else in the ocean. Maybe on automatic pilot. Who knows? I mean, all these planes that were listed were ideally equipped with the technology, or they had the technology to equip them with automatic pilot. They could be flown by remote control. You say, well, nobody wouldn't do that. Where is the luggage? Where is the baggage? Where is the wings? Where is the damage on the Pentagon of a 300-foot wingspan airplane that just left a 16-foot hole with no visible marks right or left? Are we so naive and wrapped in darkness through the duality of this convergence of harmonic imbalance rather than the balance of light, peace, love, joy, purpose? And yet in all this, there are people that are converging on the harmonic balances of the inner light, are walking toward the inner kingdom, and our gravitational pull of the spirit is bringing a light force into being that will counter the darkness upon the earth. Because the Bible said, when light comes, darkness flees. And light and darkness has no fellowship. Something's got to heal here. It must mean that in the end time, that there is going to be an increased beam of energy from the outer cosmos that is going to be placed around this earth. And I call it an energy field of the paradigm shift that is coming, where that the earth is going to be balanced with more light than it is known since its inception or conception. Light is going to dominate in the last day. Our memories are going to be flooded with the revelation of things in the past, not things in the future. To know what we have for the future, we've got to go back to the past. The past is a timeline that is written, and it's actually imprinted upon the subconscious of our very being. We've known these things from a child, if we're his sheep. We're not from a world, we're from worlds. A world of strangers and pilgrims here to this planet. We're here in the dual conscious zone of the third dimension to try to set things in order and to give the angels of darkness, those that fell through transgression, to give them time to give us the chastisement of learning and becoming creators. And we'll have to do this through a lesson that humanity is learning. It's a great lesson. The lesson is to realize our godhood. Remember he said, I said, you're gods. We've got to come back into the man that Adam was. Adam was a god. Pure and simple. He had eternal life. He didn't have to work. All these things were taken away from him. And yet the Bible says he was not deceived. Now think about that. Think about the implication and the negative feedback on your thought process when you understand the powerful being that Adam was. I mean, it's amazing how powerful and knowledgeable the original Adam was. And yet, he's stripped now of his glory. He lowered himself with the love he had for his sinful helpmeet. He chose to stay with her by choice. And it put a duality, a karmatic pattern, as you sow, so shall you reap. That's why the woman, the female, on this 12 strands of DNA is evolved like a clock in time. Yet Adam was made to live eternally. There was no time clock ever given to Adam in his original conception. He was an eternal being. But he forfeited that eternal godhood by taking away the veil of the spirit vision of light transference and choosing the five senses of the carnal mind, which is not subject to God, and neither indeed can be. It's amazing. We're learning a lesson. The lesson is to realize that everything is connected and we're all a part of it. So every action has a reaction. If I quit killing and you quit killing and we are the microcosm of what the earth is, there'll be no more killing. If we start loving and we're a microcosm of an example of what others could do and they could, but what keeps us from loving and what keeps us from killing and maiming and what keeps us in the straight and narrow way? What keeps us in the light spectrum? Isn't it true that men love darkness better than light? Why is it a strange statement to make? Men love darkness better than light. Did you know that it is a greater gratification feeling to get something on someone or hold a power over someone and that puts you in charge of their life? And when you do it on a mass scale, it gives you a godhood in reverse. It gives you the power of supremacy to rule over God's creation. And who made you a ruler? But with a warped mind of darkness that appears of light, we are persuaded with these great politicians who work for the New World Order to keep in darkness rather than to give you the light of the harmonic balance transference that is needed to reconnect us to the divine covenant principle of the 12 strands of our DNA, which links us back to perfect oneness of our Creator, which is a universal spirit. We're in special back here, folks. But the information is so distorted that our development has been suppressed as we idolize those that can do what we can do. And yet, when Christ came here, he taught that we could do all things. We could go back to God's status. He didn't think it robbery to be equal with God. You see what I'm telling you? We have come, we have failed, we've been convinced that we can achieve this status through transference of light, because we're steadily bombarded with the light of darkness rather than the light of light. We're magnificent beings. We're beautifully and wonderfully made. But with the technology that we are building here in the five senses area will never achieve the light that only works through vibration. And the people that were put here to become light beings have been turned into darkness. And our light, our eyes, the Bible literally, literally talks about Jacob Israel's eyes being blind. That means that he only sees the darkness. And the darkness appears as light. He has nothing to contrast to see the difference. And it's a old cliche, the blind leading the blind. Where do we go? We go to the disaster, the itch of carnality. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Now, very few people want to take the love vibration of life and enhance to become the family of life, which we were originally predestined to be. We were light beings from somewhere else. We were transplanted over here. Before we ever were in the earth, we were somewhere else. Before any tree or any plant, before anything existed on the earth, it existed somewhere else. And Adam had domain. He had power, godhood. He was a mighty being. He was a light being. All was good until the Satan, the crappy one, the subtle one, when he came down and convinced the weaker vessel, a byproduct of Adam, which he knew that once he could separate Eve from Adam. That's why that I believe that soulmates, spiritual soulmates, are so neat. Seek out your soulmate, not your flesh and blood mate. I've got a lot of people just living together in flesh, flesh mate, instead of soulmate. Soulmate is the unification of soul to soul and spirit to spirit. And you've got to have a complete connection, and that's it. You say, well, it would probably be impossible for people to become soulmate or to know your soulmate. How would you know? Well, I'm going to give it to you like this in a backward reverse spin on that question. If or not everyone realized their soulmate, there would be more bags packed tonight and exchanges made. This earth would shift automatically into the light spectrum away from the dark carnal flesh spectrum, which is to see, hear, taste, and smell and feel. The five senses versus the one created light connector, which we've been disconnected through the carnal mind. The dual nature of man here is to find himself in spirit, not by himself in place, not to feel great things, not to achieve the citizen of the year award. Most people would labor for that, and they would give very little regard to their soul and how to travel on the inward fragments of life. I don't know. We're here for a reason. And the reason is that we have got to evolve into the vibrational frequency that will hook us back in to the light beings who are our original ancestors. And when Christ said, I am the light of the world. But notice what he said. Now I go away, and now you're the light of the world. He said, well, now, how much light have you projected here? What have you done to achieve to make some difference in somebody's life? Have you revealed anything? Have you opened up any revelation? Have you reconnected to the channel of light? That you may be a manifesting light being, as a beacon light in a dark world, that you stand out. You see, the just a little candle in a dark place, the contrast is the light will shine in the sea of darkness. You will be able to identify and find approaching contact and reconnect to that light. And we need more sparks of light that reconnect on the frequency vibrational field of perfect union with our Creator. We're out of step. We're out of sync. We love a client. And unless we get back to this light, unless somebody turns on the light to see what is making the sound. Because if you sit in a dark room and hear strange sounds, he can be very fearful. However, if you turn on the light to see what's making the sound, it's not then as scary as it was before you sat in the dark. So you gotta have light. Darkness brings fear. And fear means that we submit, just like the scenario of 911. It provokes more fear. It provokes people to release their own God-given life, to accept someone else, Big Brother, to protect us. And so then we have to watch what we put in our suitcases when we travel on a plane. We can't even take a fingernail. That's considered a deadly weapon. And you can commandeer a plane, and now with our pilots are being armed and doors being steel shut where you can't, you know, get in. And we have ways of scanning the luggage for these plastic bombs. Now that's so powerful. It used to be so easy to slip on. And yet, some of these things defy man's ability as just individuals. Some of these have to be well planned and well financed to be carried out in such a way that they create a giant hologram in the sky to make you see something that's not actually there and have a preset set of explosives in the towers. All these are real possibilities that it actually happens by a conspiratorial force working in the area of darkness, not light, because people that want light and want peace and joy and fulfillment, if we were to be given that, they would release all the industrial technology that has been suppressed for the last 100 years. We could take giant leaps into the future of life if we were permitted to have what light beings have invented and brought here for the comfort of man, to make his internal approach back to the Father be prerequisite rather than the flesh man trying to find out that he's a God. Because your flesh man will never be a God. He's now broken down. He's now shifted like wheat. He's now become, as the scripture said, though you wanted to be a God, you're going to die like a man. So the statehood, the godhood that we had, the opportunity we had, we blow. But by being a group that is able to reconnect to our actual original purpose and intention here upon earth is easily within our reach. And we could bring in the kingdom principles of life everlasting right now on the planet just for technology. Death would be no more. Fear would be no more. Darkness would be no more. Anger would be no more. War would be no more. There'll be no more of these things that would divide us because of the complex issues of the carnal mind that is never satisfying. It has gratification, desires of sin that is continuously growing and abounding. The wicked have no peace. The wicked will produce no rest. The wicked will give us no safety. It only comes, and tomorrow's election votes will not change one thing. It will only deepen the impasse that we have, and it will only tighten the noose of dark vibrations around our neck until we're choked to the point that we cry, Abba Father, with our last breath. And we will have to be rescued at the last moment, at the last trump, when Yahweh realizes that the wicked are destroying the earth according to Revelation 11:17. Somebody's going to have to work with us to give us an abomination of our conscience back toward the tree of life. Why is it that we're not permitted to go back to the tree of life? That's because the third-dimensional man and the dual consciousness is always warring, and it's always the flesh man that wins all the battles. Because the spirit's weak. And you've heard the saying, a spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, that means that the weak flesh is a strong flesh. And a spirit that should be strong is a weak spirit. It means that our carnal minds override our spiritual intentions. We all got good intentions. Because we eat from the tree of good and evil. See, we got good intentions, but our bad intentions override our good intentions. And the things that we shouldn't do, we do. And the things that we should do, we don't. Because the spirit is weaker than the flesh man, and the flesh man is stronger than the spirit man. And he overrides every decision we make trying to evolve back to the light. Well, I'm telling you, the time has come that in goodness and mercy needs to follow us. We need to be bathed with mercy and truth. Truth is so strange, it's so fictional now, because people have been conditioned to think of a lie is truth, and truth is a lie. It's a reversal. And the powers that be that are now sitting, it's a shame to say this thing of our country that we love and respect, that would think that they would condition and manipulate the mind of man through darkness and promote fear. Oh, well, Pennsylvania and I wouldn't want to get in on the map. You know, if we didn't have these searches, they'd blow us up. Ladies and gentlemen, who's blowing us? That's the question. If we're not being blown up, who's blowing us up? Who's threatening us? Is it external, as we've been told? I mean, all the other countries look like they're doing pretty good. Have we made enemies? Or have we designed an enemy that doesn't exist to bring in total control over the minds of the people of the United States of America? We're in perilous time. This past but in this is part one. I'll be back tomorrow night with part two. Right from the flagship station of the Rock, 100.3 FM. And I've enjoyed being with you. If you'd like to write me, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live. This is the first day of the month of November. Tomorrow is election day, like I say. Go cast your vote, do your thing, and then sit back and see tomorrow night and just exactly what's going to come down. You'll get the picture by Wednesday morning. It'll be all clear of the agenda of the next 4 years. And ladies and gentlemen, it won't be a bit better than the last one. I'll assure you, it'll only get worse and worse. Area code 423-626-2176. That's area code 423-626-2176. Now, if you would like my website, if you're online, you can simply type in http://, pastorbuddy.com. Send that to yourself and then open it up as an email and click on it and it'll open our website. You can't put it in the search engine and find it, but you can send PastorBuddy.com to yourself in an email and then click on the live mail when it comes in and load it into your computer. Click on that and it'll open up our website for you. Praise God. And Sister Sherry, our webmaster, has now got an ample supply of our messages. We're growing in our messages, and you can hook up to our archives and listen live on the net. Praise God. And we've got a few articles about you not find of interest and things of that nature. So We'll be getting out of here, praise golly, as time is rolling around here. And we've enjoyed being with you. If you would like to email me tonight, you can do so by emailing buddy1@centurysale.net. Let me hear from you. I enjoy reading your mail. And just a little note, a little short note would be very fine. It makes me feel good that somebody's got ears out there that's listening. So, you're online, and you can enjoy the message tonight as well. Just go ahead and email buddy1@centurysale.net, and we appreciate that. Again, if you'd like to write me and communicate with me, I'll send you some literature, and we'll get acquainted. Just write Pastor Buddy. That's all you need, Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. We'll be at 37824. And we'll see you on down the line. Praise Yahweh. Tomorrow night, live, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central. That'll be 5 o'clock up on the Rock. We'll be in there tomorrow. Yah bless. I'm going to go to the next one.